You're listening to the New South Wales Country Hour. Now, our reporter Mike Pritchard has, as he usually is, he's out at Tocal today, and he joins us on the line now. Good afternoon, Mike. Now, this is becoming a regular thing. You go there every year.
Michael, yeah, not every year, but I do enjoy getting to Tocal. It's been a great opportunity again to get down here because it's a classic autumn day down here at Tocal. And I guess, Michael, what we've been looking at prior to the field day here is just whether or not this will be a bit of a litmus test, just how well the country's recovering, the farmers are recovering, and where are we going from here? Because we've got a lot of good news to share at the moment with the commodity prices, seasonal conditions. But what we are going to look at today is just what that will look like in 20, 25 years, or even sooner than that, in our panel discussion that we've got this morning. Because the theme at the field day here is future farming, what it'll look like. And joining me on the panel will be from Precision Agriculture is Matt Nutley, and also we've got Ben Watts, who just literally dropped in. He's the drones expert that we're going to talk about. And we'll also have Eric Dryship, a robots designer as well. So let's start, because where we're at the moment, we've seen quite significant changes to the technology and farming and where we are. We're hearing quite a little bit about it. Eric, I'll start with you, the robotics, because that's made a fairly significant jump into the use of robotics on farms. So where are we at there?
Yeah, so right now we're kind of moving beyond data. So I think the last 5 years we've done a lot in terms of gathering data. And what we're doing at the Australian Centre for Field Robotics at the University of Sydney is now acting on that data. So collecting it, but now building things to actually interact in an on-farm environment.
So, and have you got the trials going for that?
Yeah. So right now we're displaying here at Tocal an autonomous robot for pasture crops and for identifying weeds and doing spot spraying all on its own. So that's one example. We're also doing field trials out in Narrabri and other regional locations with on-farm autonomy as well for spraying and other sorts of applications.
So well on the way then to providing farmers with robots to do the work.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, we'll go to there and find out what it's going to be like in 25 years' time. But also, let's have a look at Precision Ag, Matt, because things are moving fairly fast for you there in Precision Ag.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we... From my position when I was a student at Tocal about 10 years ago, the idea of learning technology was going to the library and, you know, just jumping on the computer. Now, you know, we've got students out data collecting, they're looking at sensor networks, they're analysing data, they're putting that back into the tractor, so they're looking at, like, spatial data, how to do variable rate, connect a spreader to a tractor or a boom spray to a tractor and make sure that, you know, that's operating at the most efficient level possible at the farm. That makes, you know, we want to make our students job ready with the, you know, the technology and skills that are out there.
Well, that's going to benefit the farmers, of course, but the technology itself, is that being used much by the farmers at the moment? I know you're processing fur.
Yeah, I think there's in different industries, I think every industry is a bit different, but yeah, I probably focus on the cropping industry a bit more. The adoption of technology in that industry has been, you know, has been huge. You know, I know plenty of farmers now that can just whip out their phone and, you know, look at what their soil moisture is or their, you know, weather station, or, you know, see that a tractor's going up and back down a paddock, how much fuel's on board, you know, what the current yield is, something like that, all live streaming data. Like, it's definitely being adopted, yeah.
So you could be able to go into a paddock and you'd be able to tell that one end of that paddock's got a lot more moisture than another, so we can put a few more seeds into there than the other end, simple as that?
Could be something as simple as that. Could be, you know, fertiliser seed, you know, obviously every situation's different, but yeah, absolutely.
Significant change then from where we were, but can you see bigger changes coming in the future?
Absolutely. I think there's going to be a time where, you know, you won't need to step into that tractor. It'll just, Eric will have made me a machine and I can just teach students how to turn it on. You know, they'll obviously probably still have a component of calibrating it maybe or something, or, and, you know, setting up, deciding the sowing rate, but yeah, they'll be autonomous. It'll just be doing it.
And it'll be doing it, but yeah. What about the dependence that these students will put on that particular performance of technology and it doesn't work? Do they have to ring up Dad and say, Dad, what happens to how do I steer it from here?
Yeah, that's a good one. That happened last week when we were sowing a trial plot. You know, there was one run to go and the auto steer stopped working and the student rang me up and said, what do I do? And I there's a steering wheel there. Just follow your last row. you'll be all over it. You'll be right.
I'll come back to you in a moment we'll go to drones now. You won't be able to ring Dad up and ask him how I can get this drone out of the situation. So where are we at with drones in agriculture? We're hearing a fair bit about that now too.
Yeah, just like Eric and Matt said, technology is evolving across all of these different tools that we're using in industry, and drones in the last 5 years have come a huge leap, just like auto steer or some other gear did in agricultural machinery maybe 15, 20 years ago. And we just literally did a demo then down in the field here at Tocal, and people, you could sort of see a bit of a smirk as the drone was about to take off, and they're thinking, wonder how this will go, and they were actually blown away by the accuracy. And the great thing is we've had everything, and this is a global industry, but Australia's leading it. We've got drones working. It's all GPS enabled. We're on centimetre accuracy. It's a truly automated system on farm. And I guess just like Matt said about industry take-up has been red hot in cropping, even in up here in the grazing areas, viticulture, citrus. What we're seeing is growers are actually just climbing on board and really leading the charge. And we're seeing lots of growers now that are collecting crop maps or pasture maps or elevation maps using their own drone on their own farm. And they're doing, you know, 12-hour turnaround of data, and they're getting everything from livestock location through to plant health. And all of this can plug all the way back through to the other end, back into a variable rate ground rig or sowing rig. So it's great we finally made that step from just flying drones to look at a picture to using a tool that collects data that just plugs back into existing machines.
So is it a situation where who knows what could happen with drones in a couple of years' time? Because is the technology changing that quickly?
I wouldn't say it's changing that quickly. The challenge for agriculture is getting the data. Most of our drone technology is really military driven. It's getting that information or that technology back to the farm. And the great thing here at Tocal and their partnership with AgSkill 2.0, they're actually rolling out this training right across the state with growers. And that's the best way to do it. When growers get hands-on, they come up with their own ideas, they're finding solutions. So it's a really good thing. And I think we've got some really top people down on different sites here at the workshops today. Growers talking to them, it's already here. It's now a case of rolling that out with the growers on the ground, and Tocal's doing a great job providing that training.
Well, let's go back to the ground now, because the robotics are doing a fair bit of work at the moment. I know it's in trials, but you're already pricking fruit with robotics.
Yeah, so we've worked on a number of orchards, both in New South Wales and Victoria, demonstrating fruit picking. And we're also talking to growers to figure out other applications that would be useful on farm.
So. And if we look a little bit further down the track, where are we going to go with it?
Yeah, so I think it's beyond just the output, so it's beyond just the fruit picking, but I think it's also doing some of the menial tasks maybe we just don't have time for at the current moment due to labor shortages or otherwise. Mm. So you can still have high-value work done by humans as well, but maybe the robots are doing things like fence line spraying, you know, or other things that, you know, we just can't get to at the moment.
Is an offshoot of this going to be, I spoke to a young lady this morning at Tocal, she's doing a course here, suggesting that when she was learning about drones, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. You think this sort of development in agriculture with technology is likely to bring more of the younger people back into agriculture?
I think absolutely. Yeah, it's combining a lot of high-tech skills with other skills that maybe kids are growing up with out in the field anyway. And so if they can bring those two together, I think it's absolutely a way of keeping kids interested in agriculture.
And are we seeing the young people coming into the college through agriculture perhaps a little more than what we were?
Absolutely. Like, we got a full house here at the college this year. There's interest, they're excited, they want to learn, and they want to get jobs. That's what we want. That's the outcome.
The future looks pretty bright then for agriculture.
Yeah.
So let's go forward 20, 25 years. Farmer gets out of bed in the morning. He's got sheep, he's got cattle, he's got a little bit of crop around the corner. What's his day looking like?
So, Ben here, I think we've got some really exciting things where we've run some Futurescape workshops, and we've got older farmers and younger farmers they're talking about using in situ sensors like what Matt's talking about. Maybe they just start off with their big smart screen. They look at what's going on the farm, and before they've even, they're watching the kettle boil before the sun comes up to make that cup of tea, and they're just tapping the screen and they're checking out all of the data from all of the different feeds of sensors. But it's automated, and number one, it's live and it's accurate. Number two, it feels natural to these young people in 20 years' time. It's just how they check a farm. And then, hopefully by then, they'll walk outside, they'll hop in their hydrogen-powered electric side-by-side or whatever it might be, and they'll go and do the one or two jobs that are time-critical, high-value. And I think the other part that, I've certainly seen, we're attracting the brightest young minds back to farming. It's as though farming's the new mining. Pardon the pun, but we're watching them. They're climbing over themselves to come back in, and it's really, it's not about the device, it's about the information.
Eric, the farmer, getting up in the morning and having a look. Is he going to get a robot to make his cup of tea so he doesn't have to do that?
Yeah, it's not what we work on in our group, but yeah, hopefully he's checking the screen, and you know, if he's a, vegetable farmer, he's seeing produce go to market. You know, maybe there's picking done overnight by the robot. You know, he's seeing other aspects of his farm, and he's kind of monitoring the overall health. That's what I'd like to see, yeah.
Oh, I'm open to not having to get dirty.
You think that's what the farm... What about the dairy farmers on a wet and muddy day? What are they going to be like?
Oh, well, you know, we've already got robotic milking, so that's, you know, that's a big win for the industry. That's a huge thing. And I think, you know, I'll just keep up with whatever Eric brings me, and I'll make sure the students know how to use it. I'm open. Invent it.
And I think we're also working together at the same time, right? It's important that we make sure we're making things that are actually useful to the farmers.
Yeah.
So that's why we're here at events like this. We're getting feedback on the platforms we develop, and we're trying to make that step together.
If you look at price comparison then, the way we're going in technology to the way we were, is it going to be affordable, and will it meet the cost of production? Will they be able to meet the cost of production with robotics and drones?
In the drone space, we've already seen the cost of drones come down maybe 10 to 20%, but we've seen the capacity triple. So value's there. And I think the best acid test is go out to some of the bread and butter farmers who've done the Tocal training 12 months ago and say, you're using a drone, it might have been worth $3,000 or $4,000. What's your production? What's your time saving or your production gain? When we talk to somebody who says, I had a chemical bill of $80,000 for my summer fallow and I've cut it by 80%, to me, it's a great test in the paddock.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, and in areas where things are expensive now, sensors are always getting cheaper. So you might see a high price tag now, but our job is a research and development center, test what works, and then figure out how to commercialize it after.
Things are getting cheaper, but I suspect if we look at the technology, it can change very quickly for you.
Yes.
For you.
Yep. Oh, like we've said, I think we were talking before, you know, we've written courses and within a couple of months, the training resource has nearly been, you know, it needs to be redone. That's how quickly sometimes technology just comes at you. So I think it's doing your homework and evaluating now what's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck, you know, for the next... You know, technology has a short lifespan. It's something you've got to manage.
Matt, Eric, and thanks very much, Ben. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Michael, there you have it. The future of farming and where we're going to be at in 15 to 20 years' time.